happy day. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, C-3PO and R2-D2 bizarre caper continues. Forced to escape a separatist attack on a Y-wing fighter, the droids visit the world of the Patatites. I'm gonna say that wrong all night long. The odd planet Volnab, and the inside of a pirate warship, where they will be forced to fight in a gladiatorial arena. There will be battle droids, but not the kind that we're used to. Tiny people, the Wizard of Oz. And 3PO and R2's vacation from hell. We're talking about nomad droids this week. How you doing, Chris, in the 5 minutes that we just recorded last week's episode?
I'm doing great, because, spoiler, I love this episode. I love it.
It's a fun little one. It really is.
As we've determined from last episode, I'm in new territory here, so this one was new to me, and this one was like a retro blast from the past, while being like higher level of Clone Wars animation, and I just loved it.
I am just so excited that you're in new territory now. Like, everything is going to be new. I can't wait for us to start the next 7 episodes. That's my chunk. We're starting next week is my favorite chunk of Clone Wars, and I'm just so excited for you. Just so excited. Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm kind of jealous. No, I'm actually kind of jealous.
Let's hope I like them, huh?
Yeah, well, they will fight, and but like I'm kind of jealous because like it's all so new to you, and I remember just like the idea of just like watching and binge watching and watching every week and stuff like that. That's why I still haven't watched Bad Batch and God, what's it called? Someone with a Kyber crystal, Utapau. I haven't watched those two and those unfinished arcs because I know we're going to get to them eventually. Well, and I've made a choice that they're going to be brand new to me, even though I know what happens in Bad Batch. But
now,
still.
Now like, you know how I felt when we watched the holiday special.
That's true. That was all new to me. And the entire time I was just in there going, what is happening? Is he watching porn? I'm so happy for you, Chris. I'm so happy. Like, we're here. We're finally here. It took us, like, 2.5 years, but you're finally here. Wait, has it been 2.5? No, it's been, like, 1 year and 9 months. We haven't reached our 2-year mark yet, have we?
No, we won't. We'll be, by around the end of season 4, we'll be reaching 2 years. It's amazing, huh?
There'll be 2 years for you. for us. Before we got here to new stuff, and I'm so happy for you. I can't wait. Hey! So, you want to get started?
I'm ready.
I'm ready, too. So, Nomad Droids is the 72nd episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on October 14th, 2011. It was written by Steve Mitchell and Craig Van Sickle, and it was directed by Stuart Lee. Some extra information for you. The space platitude of this episode is a direct quote from Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars Episode 4, after Luke, Chewbacca, Han, and R2 and 3PO evade capturing stormtroopers by hiding the Millennium Falcon's smuggling department. Also, David Accord voices the hologram leader on the planet of Balnip. David regularly lends his voice to background characters in Clone Wars and Rebels, but most recently, he was the voice of Tito in Star Wars Forces of Destiny that just came out a few weeks ago. And for the episode featurette, Wikipedia was, Dave Filoni was taking, like, fan questions and stuff like that, and Wikipedia was really great about summarizing the fan questions, so I didn't have to write it down word for word. So thank you, Wikipedia. It says, the Patatites were intended to be similar to brownies from Willow. 3PO and R2 being tied up by the Patatites was a reference to the book Gulliver's Travels. However, in the book, Gulliver travels to four places, while the droids only travel to two. The planet of Aline and the Patatite Patuna. The reaction to the Patatites to the death of Hal Zu is a reference to Wizard of Oz, when the Munchkins are happy when Dorothy has a house fall and kill the witch. The droids are adventures on Balneb is another Oz reference, this time to the Great Wizard of Oz and including the exposure of the pit droids. One final reference to Gulliver's Travels, just as Gulliver is attacked by the pirates and he leaves for the third adventure, the same thing happens to the droids upon leaving their third adventure. The Patatites is a reference to the brownies, the small creatures that appeared in Lucasfilm's film Willow. The supervising director of Star Wars The Clone Wars, Dave Filoni, is a fan of the film. He saw to it that the Patatites spoke in similar fashion to the brownies as well. While the brownies were human-like in appearance, Filoni distinguished the Patatites, from their source material by giving them radically different skin tone colors.
They're just a different color. I was definitely picking up the Now, the thing about Gulliver's Travels is there's Gulliver's Travels, the way people perceive it, and then there's the book, which is, the book is like dense political satire. And yeah, he goes to four different countries. But for the most part, by the time Gulliver's Travels gets like made into movies and stuff, and the general public knows the story, all they really think about are two of the places, one with the giant people and one with tiny people.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. Like, I've never seen it or read it or anything. I know of it, and the only thing I know is he's tied down by by tiny people.
And then, that's the thing. And then it even condensed down more to where Gulliver's Travel was really just about the tiny people, you know. And then when they made an animated. I've never seen Willow. That came out when I should have seen it, but it fell through the cracks for me for some reason. And now that Ron Howard's directing the Han Solo movie, I guess I should see Willow to check out a Lucasfilm Ron Howard movie and see how so many people love that movie.
That makes me feel better because I've never seen Willow either.
Maybe that'll be one of our end of the year movies.
No.
No? You don't think so?
I want to do Rogue One.
We could do that, too.
We're not going to, like, like 6 months later do this one video, like, thing about this one episode.
Okay.
Maybe. I'll think about it.
And the brownies, brownies are another thing that have sort of been lost in time. Brownies were a sort of popular thing, I think, in the 20s, 30s, and 40s in children's books. They were little elves, and there were lots of books about the brownies.
That's actually in the Girl Scouts, why, because like the Boy Scouts, there's different ranks of Girl Scouts,
right.
Too.
The brownies,
and one of them
are for
is
the
brownies.
Younger. Yep.
Yeah, I was a brownie when I was a kid. And
the Cub Scouts are for the Boy Scout, and brownies were for the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, I was a brownie when I was a kid, and it's roughly based on the little people from the stories, because they were little helpers, and brownies and Girl Scouts were all about helping people.
And I believe the brownies had, like, their hats were made out of, like, the tops of acorns.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we had the dumb little hats that I remember having. And then I sold a bajillion cookies, and then I loved Thin Mints for life.
Thin Mints, oh.
Oh, God. When it's cookie time, like, I feel so bad because I'm like, I must seek out tiny girls. And then I'm just like, I sound like such a creep because I'm just like, I must find small children.
With money clenched in your hand.
I know. Show me your girls. Scouts cookies. No, stop. Girl Scout cookies. I didn't mean it like that. Officer, I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry, officer. Just what Thin meant. So, man, Nestle put out, like, Thin Mint, like, little bars. They're, like, crunch bars, but it was Thin Mint flavors. My God, they're so good. And they're limited time.
Keebler has grasshoppers that are fairly close. And our dollar store is up here. have a dollar store version of Thin Mints that's pretty close. It's actually maybe more like Thin Mints are a little smaller and a little different these days than I remember them, but the dollar store ones are more around the size of the ones I remember. And those are pretty good too. Those will do in a pinch.
Girl Scout cookies are only a buck fifty a box. Man, Girl Scout cookies are so expensive nowadays too. Yeah. They're like $6.50 a box.
Yeah.
That's really, I understand why they have to make money and it's really important and stuff like that, but still, that's a little bit, and there's less cookies in them than there used to be.
Yes, there definitely is. I've noticed that also, and the cookies are smaller, too.
I mean, come on, Girl Scouts. Come on. I mean, I know I'm going to buy them anyway, but I'm not happy about it. I don't like it, but I'm going to buy, instead of buying 4 boxes of Thin Mints, I'm going to buy, like, 2.
That'll last me like a day.
I usually freeze one because frozen Thin Mints are
amazing. Yes, they are.
And I only like what I do, the way I eat them is I'll bite one in half and then I'll turn it so the bit part is facing up and I'll put it down in the milk and let the milk fill it up because it has the candy coating. And so when you pull it up, the inside is completely mush, but the hard candy coating is holding everything together and you bite into it. Oh.
Just get vanilla ice cream in a blender and you make Frosties out of it. Oh, boy. Ugh. Oh, boy.
Ugh, so good. You know who also likes to run at girls with money?
Making it rain, I am.
Give me your cookies. A little cookie monster-ish. I don't think Yoda would get along with the cookie monsters. They like different kind of cookies and milk.
I don't know. I don't know if the cookie monsters are a race or just the single cookie monster.
I don't know.
I don't remember there ever being any other cookie monsters. There were monsters, but they were more like Harry the Monster than Cookie Monster. We'll have to, if we ever get any of the Muppets on here.
Hold on. I feel like we've met his family at some point.
We probably have.
So there has to be at least more than one. I like that this is the problem with the internet. I typed in Cookie Monster's family, and I just got a bunch of Family Guy videos.
Yeah, that's right, because they had, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, I did find a picture of Cookie Monster's, and, like it looks like his dad, because he has, like, little glasses and a tie on. And then I found another one of what looks like his grandmother knitting. So there is at least one extra.
I forgot. I remember Grandma. It's basically just Cookie Monster in a shawl with a gray wig on.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We got to run at children with money.
Who's the more foolish? The fool or the fool who follows him? In bed.
The fool that follows him to run after the small children.
Is this like a sloppy seconds platitude or something?
Yeah. Oh, that's like a threesome point.
No, that's like Han Solo making out with Princess Leia after Luke. He's the fool who followed him.
Yeah, but it was probably
and that
the
question
better
was point. Asked towards Han Solo too. It was posed to Han Solo.
Aw. Ugh. Now I'm just thinking about Luke just being like, hey, Leia, and she's just like, hey, Luke, and then they're like, oh, we're siblings, so this is awkward now. Well, Act 1. Now that we talked about Girl Scouts for 20 minutes.
Now that we've talked about Girl Scouts and we're veering into incest, let's just put the brakes on the class here a little bit and get some work done.
I'm glad that incest is one of the topics that we veer away from.
Yeah. It's high on the list of topics to veer away from.
We'll talk about, like, penis sizes and, like, vulvas and titties, but not incest.
Well, that's funny because I was just like, yeah, we shouldn't be talking about incest in Star Wars, but it's not our fault.
That's true.
We didn't put it in there.
I feel like I saw a video of John Boyega when they were doing their press circuit for Force Awakens. And one of the questions was like, what did you think of Luke and, finding out that Luke and Leia were sisters? And he was just like, it destroyed me. I love them so much. And then it was gross. Like, he was such a precious thing. He was like, it destroyed me. Yeah. Okay, Act 1.
Act 1.
All right, so after last week, where C-3PO and R2-D2 saved the planet of Aline, Commander Wolf had no more fucks to give with these two. He dumped them on Jedi Master Adi Gallia's ship to send them back to Padme. 3PO Skypes Padme going, I solved all the riddles and R2 was useless. Praise me, Padme! Hashtag blessed 3PO. But their ship comes under attack suddenly from the Separatists. The bad guys hit their ship's main reactor and Adi Gallia gives the order to evacuate the ship. Of course, 3PO is panicking while R2 is like, it's just another Monday. They turn the corner and BAM! There's General Grievous battling it out with Adi Gallia and her men. R2 is like, fuck this noise, and pedals the other way. 3PO follows him while screaming for his robot life. They get to the hangar, and R2 slaps away another droid. He hops into a Y-wing and turns it on, so 3PO suddenly falls into the cockpit. R2 flies out into a space battle and then just starts kicking ass and taking names. He flies to a nearby planet, nearby planet of Petatite Patuna, but the droid ship follows. It shoots out their engine before R2 can destroy it. R2's training from Anakin is showing because he crashes the ship on the planet, because Anakin can only crash ships. Now they're stuck on the planet with no way of getting help from the Republic, but uh-oh, someone spots them in the bushes. I think I just said spots them in their bushes. That's a totally different thing. The droids are in trouble again. I was doing so good until I said that 3PO has a bush.
Well, you do. Well, yeah, there's a Star Wars card that confirms that. It looks like it looks like steel wool. Yeah, one of the first run of Star Wars cards has 3PO's penis on it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you can Google that shit. It's one of the more value. It's a valuable Star Wars card. It's one of the ones I don't have. If anybody wants to send me that one, I would really appreciate it because I need it for my collection. Somebody probably at Tops who was putting together the card got a little frisky and did a little, you know, before Photoshop, photo trickery on C-3PO. And he's got quite a large erection.
I have to Google this.
Yes.
3PO.
It's a real thing, but yeah, you can see it yourself. They did not give him a Brillo pad pubic hair, though.
Oh my god!
Yep. talk about blessed 3PO, right?
Holy crap, it comes up to his chest!
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
He needs a strap to manage that sucker.
Oh my god. Oh my god. What is this going for online? I can't find it anywhere.
I'm not sure how much it goes for. I think it probably goes for like $20 or something like that. I've wanted to pay for a Star Wars card, but yeah.
That's amazing. Oh my god. Oh my god, Kotaku wrote an entire article about it.
Oh yeah, it's famous. It's infamous, I should say. It was a little before your time, but yeah, it's infamous.
Oh my god. I like that it actually says that it's also Anthony Daniels, because I bet he just had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So
to speak.
So what did you think of Act 1, Chris?
I loved it. I have one note. This is another one. I love this episode. Very few notes for it, although I'm sure I'm going to be able to do some talking about it. This one just starts out like Episode 4, you know? As a matter of fact, 3PO doesn't say they've shut down the main reactor, will be destroyed for sure, but they just had their main reactor blown out. So they, like, it was just sort of an alternate universe sort of thing, but then all of a sudden they turn a corner and there's Greevy. And I'm just like, yes! But basically, the main Clone Wars storyline of this whole thing is not even happening in the, it's just happening in the background, you know, and R2 and 3PO are just good. You know what this reminds me of? Have you ever been on Star Tours, or have you ever been to Disney World?
I haven't been since I was a child. I was maybe 7 last time I went.
Okay, so the modern rides they have nowadays where, say, you're sitting in front of a screen and the whole platform you're on moves and stuff, that's what this reminds me of, where there's a story. They usually, there'll be a story going on, but you're just sort of weaving in and out of it on the ride, you know. You're going on a fast-pitched or fast-paced, you know, move through it, and it's like, oh, we're going through the asteroid field, and then when you come out of the asteroid field, you'll see a little more of the battle or something, and then you get put into another thing. And it just, it reminded me of that. It's just like R2 and 3PO are just being pushed through the storyline, and you just can't, it's like, okay, there's Grievous, he's battling with a Jedi, that should be the thing we're paying attention to, and then boom, we're on to another thing. And, you know, and I liked how R2 flew the ship. Mm. You saw that, like, R2's a good pilot, but he's not like Anakin. You know what I mean? He's not like he's like a competent, good pilot, and he's probably better than a regular droid. But it should, that was always one of the things I always wondered, is like, why don't they just have like guys like R2 fly the X-wings? You know, they'd probably be a lot more precise and stuff. And he was good. But he wasn't, you know, he was just a competent pilot, which is pretty good for a droid.
Yeah.
But that's about all I had for this part. I just like how it just, like, is flinging you along with the story. It's just, I realized, okay, we're just going to see R2 and 3PO getting, you know, literally almost thrown from one situation to another. So, and the way it's done is very kinetic and frantic and... It's good to have the focus be on R2 and 3PO without them being pure comic relief. Although they're, you know, I mean, they are comic relief. It's, I don't know, there's something very retro about it, you know. This and the last one remind me of the droids cartoon and the droids comics and stuff like that. But this is better. This is, you know, as you said, 3PO in this one still is not annoying, you know. It's 3PO from the original trilogy sort of thing. He is annoying, but it's annoying in a really fun way where you're like, yay, it's 3PO.
It's funny when he falls off a ship.
It always is. 3PO is there to get abused. When Scott and I did our parody of Star Wars, the 3PO character was just getting mangled all the time. You know, he was made to suffer, you know?
Yeah. I only really had 2 notes for this stage, for this Act 2. One was very similar to your first note, and one was the complete opposite of your other note.
Oh.
which was pretty much like, I like seeing Grievous just pop out of nowhere like a daisy. And I like how the entire fight is always in the background. Like, there's a point where the droids are walking away, and you just see Adi Gallia just fly by the door.
Yep.
And it actually kind of reminds me of something completely different from Star Tours. You guys are going to laugh. It's fine. One of my favorite episodes of My Little Pony was the 100th episode, and it was called Slice of Life. And what they did was they focused on all the minor characters. So usually the way My Little Pony works, you have the 6 main characters, and there's a problem. They fight a monster or something like that, and it's resolved. Well, what's fun about this one is it's all the minor characters, and they're just like, what's going on now? I don't know, but they'll probably resolve it in 22 minutes. Like, they're just dropping jokes like that. So, like, throughout the entire episode, you see the main characters in the background fighting this thing, but the episode focuses on all the minor characters throughout the entire way through, and the main characters don't even really say anything for the entire episode. It's really fun. It's a really good episode of My Little Pony. So that's actually what it reminded me of, but I like how that entire thing is staged. And do you remember, from my other note, way, way a while back ago, we were joking, and I think it was the commentary for episode one, because Anakin was a kid and was like, took out a ship with R2, and right. We were joking that Anakin's actually a terrible pilot, and it's all R2 actually flying.
And, you know, a lot of the flying and fighting that Luke did was with R2, too.
Yeah. So, like, this just kind of, like, R2's out there, and he's kicking ass, and he's, like, dodging hyena droids, and he's just, you know, eventually he crashes, but he crashes just like Anakin. So, I like that that little theory of Anakin's actually a terrible pilot came up, because we totally made it up with a as a joke, like, way long time ago. So, that's what I thought about. But your point makes way more sense, that R2's a good pilot, but he's not as good as Anakin, but I just like that we had that theory, and it reminded me of that all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I had for Act 1.
All right, well, it definitely, it picks, I think this show keeps picking up, like, act by act, so, yeah, I'm eager. Let's do this.
All right, the very, very long Act 2, because this was really a four-act episode. Here we go. Act 2. The droids hear whispering in the bushes. 3PO picks up a flower stick, waving it around like a crazy person. R2 whips out his Swiss Army knife parts and starts ready to shank a bitch and starts shaking them. Suddenly, they're under attack! The natives scream out and rush the droids. Only the natives are tiny little people, only a few inches high. And 3PO is like, "Aw, they're adorable! Look how tiny and cute and adorable they are, and they're so harmless! What harmless people!" And then the tiny people stab the droids with electric sticks and knock them offline. When they wake up again, the Battletites have tied them to the ground, Gulliver Travel style. They're fetching their leader, Heizu, to decide the fate of the droids. The Battletites drop some information that Heizu is a regular President Snow from Hunger Games, willing to send their children away to fight his war. Heizu arrives like a tiny Jabba the Hutt, with his rubber band and dancing girls in tow. Tiny Jabba is like, "You're lucky you found me in a good mood. My word is final, and I say let you go." The Pentatites free the droids, and R2 is pissed. He spouts off at Tiny Jabba, and 3PO is like, "Mind your manners!" And he slaps R2, who falls over on top of Tiny Jabba and squishes him to death. And the Pentatites are ecstatic that they're freed from Jabba's rule. Out of their gratitude, they fix the droid ship. The Pentatites want 3PO to be their new leader, and R2 laughs at him. 3PO is like, "I could be a good leader! I am a good leader! Shut up, R2!" But he can't lead, because they have to get back to Padme to help her with a dinner party or whatever. 3PO has the people nominate three people from the Pentatites to vote on. They pick one guy to be their leader, but the fighting breaks out among the three of them, like all good democracies. R2 is like, "Well, the ship's not fully fixed, but it's time to go." And the droids hop onto their ride and get the heck out of there, blasting down the little guys with their engines. Out in space, the battle from before is gone, but they have a new problem. Both the ship and the droids are running low on power. They need to find an outlet to plug into, or they're gonna die like my cell phone at work playing Pokemon Go all day. R2 spots another planet nearby and heads for it. They land on the planet Belnab. It's a young planet just starting to develop its society. R2 locates a power source, and the droids roll out into the wilderness. Suddenly, a group of Belnabs ambush him. I can't talk today. Suddenly, a group of Belnabs ambush them and traps the droids in a stun net. "These country folks are our newest band of space rednecks, so yeehaw, everybody!" And they take their droids to the leader. 3P is like, "R2, don't kill this leader this time!" And R2's like, "You're the one that made me murder him." The droids are brought to the great and powerful Laws! Lightning! Dazzle! Don't look behind the curtain! It's a hologram of a dude commanding the Belnab people. One of the rednecks is like, "Great leader! I can't believe I can't do a southern accent and I live in the south. It was I who brought them to you, and oh my god!" And the hologram kills the redneck with lightning. And 3PO is like, "I will have to negotiate with this guy." And R2 doesn't have time for that. He rolls over to a stone wall and sees a door panel and opens it. R2 wanders behind the curtain, finding the Wizard of Oz behind all of this. A band of pit droids run the hologram, exposing that this is all fake. The pit droids worked hard to keep their people in line, and R2 kicks their asses, exposing them to the Belnabs. Unlike Dorothy, Tin Man, and Lion, and Scarecrow, the red rednecks aren't sympathetic and attack the pit droids, Their little empire falls, and it's time for the droids to go. Our droid heroes still need a recharge, though, as they're getting dangerously low on power. What'd you think of Act 2, Chris?
Loved it. There was all sorts of fun stuff in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just calling the leader Big Jesus.
Big Jesus! He just reminded me of Jabba. He's kind of, like, pudgy and gross and he's dancing girls, but I like his little rubber band, because, like, as they're walking up, they're just like, it's all high pitch.
I'm calling his people the mini space French.
Huh?
They were very French. They reminded me of the French in Monty Python's Holy Grail.
You will lead us! No.
I love how Big Jesus's chair floats. But he's so big and heavy that it's bouncing all the time. I don't think we've seen something like physics like that in Star. Something so like bouncy and like it's like it had springs under it. It was really neat. I like the little Yoda gremlin things that attack him.
Yoda gremlins.
Maybe I'm getting ahead.
No, was it the people who worshipped the hologram?
I don't think it is, because basically the hologram looked like a big version of them, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of where I saw. I got my notes here and I can picture them. They were little pointy headed guys.
Oh, when they first got to Balnet, before they showed up and sunned them with their net, there was like these little kind of monkey looking things.
Yeah, they look like Yoda gremlins. They look like the gremlins from the movie Gremlins with Yoda mixed with them.
Yeah, I totally know what you're talking about right now. They were cute. They reminded me of like the little monkey thing that hangs out with Jabba, and it's just like, hey, 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 hey.
But I love this. I love this because we're establishing R2 and 3PR are just getting banged from one, but they're not. They're sort of randomly getting just like thrown from one situation to the other. But they generally have the effect of just overturning the power structure of wherever they go.
Yeah.
You know, they just end up like totally upending everything, and then they're out of there, you know. They squash Big Jesus, and then they introduce them into fighting with each other, you know. They're glad the dictator's gone, but now they have to fight with each other. And I like that R2 has Big Jesus's blood smeared on his chest for the rest of the episode.
That's one of my notes.
He's just and when they pick up R2, he's got a big slimy smear. You know, he just squashed him, and there's just like slime all over him. It's pretty gory, but it's an alien, so it's not. You know, I mean, that's the sort of thing. If it was like if R2 accidentally fell on like say Farkin. Farkin's head and crushed it, and then had a big bloody brain splotchy smear on his chest for the whole time. Don't think it would have made it to Cartoon Network.
No.
But this is basically the same thing. You know, this guy wasn't even like a mosquito or a bug or something. He was an intelligent being. He was probably an awful dictator, but
either way, he was just
randomly murdered by R2.
He was murdered by 3PO, because 3PO was the one that slapped R2 on top of him.
Yeah, they were both the co-agents of chaos in that situation.
But he had to be a bad guy, though, because the little tiny people were like, he sends our children to fight his wars. And I'm sitting there going, what wars is this tiny person waging?
Tiny wars.
Like,
tiny wars for tiny people.
I bet they're really cute wars. Like it's like a Bug's Life, and they go fight the grasshoppers.
They're really cute wars. They're really high-pitched wars.
I just imagine
most wars sound like groups of people going roar at each other. They're like,
I just imagine Anakin and Grievous like find this like tiny arena, and they're like, we could fight, or we could make the tiny people fight. And it's like a cockfight, and they throw tiny people in this arena, and they're like, go.
Little sticks to push them together, push them into each other. Why aren't you fighting?
But we don't want
Frenchmen, fight over this baguette.
Yeah. So, I also, But I also really like the pit droids and how they were all like, this is our empire. Go find your own flesh bags. Like, they're really tiny assholes.
Yeah. You know what I expected them to do? I expected when they got caught to just sort of go like, shit, and then just like condense down into their little, you know, just crush down into their little cylinders, you know?
Though, like, the Balnabs just totally destroyed their chance at having technology, though, because they're like, what is this? And they just start shooting up the plane.
Destroy it.
And I'm just like, and I like that shot where it zooms out and you can see that it's a ship that's crashed into the mountain.
Yeah.
That's a really cool shot. And I was just like, man, the Balnabs were this close to having space travel. But like all good rednecks, they just shoot the shit out of it.
That's okay. They're not ready for it, obviously.
Yeah. So I really loved the pit droids a lot, though. I thought they were like really funny, tiny little assholes. But the only other note I had was, oh my god, 3PO murdered Tiny Jabba, and I like the literary references with Wizard of Oz and Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah. Oh, it's just fun. I mean, it's going a mile a minute, it's visually all over the place, and it's about to get even more visually crazy in the next act.
Yeah. So, I kind of also like the pacing is fast, too, because the droids are like, we have to find power, so it gives them incentive to keep moving. But I guess it makes sense that the Balnabs, you know, like, destroyed the ship, because then R2 and 3PO could recharge, and then we wouldn't have Act 3. But they were not ready for that, and they destroyed the place. So, but that's all I really had for Act 2.
All right, let's polish this wonderful little episode off.
Alright, so Act 3. R2 and 3PO wander through the wilderness, heading back to their ship. Both droids are running low on power. They camp out under a tree to shut down and conserve energy. A shadow of a massive ship passes overhead. It lands, and Weequay pirates show up. Sadly, they're not with Hondo, so boo! There's no Hondo in this episode. And then I realized that Hondo hasn't been in Clone Wars for a long, hot minute, and I
wondered why they didn't throw Hondo in it just for the hell of it. Why not, you know?
I know! I guess because the Separatist destroys their ship later. Spoiler, I'm about to read that.
Yeah, but he could have flown off and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but still, like, I was really upset Hondo wasn't here. Anyway. The pirates take 3PO and R2 on their ship and head back out into space. The droids boot back up, fully recharged, but they realize that the pirates are up to no good. Turns out these guys run a droid fight club. This gladiatorial arena is for the best metal fighters to duke it out. Are you not entertained? And 3PO and R2 are not entertained, and they get thrown into the ring. So, guys, do you remember my mom? You know, she was on an earlier episode with us last year, and my mom's really lovely, and we drank a lot of wine, and I got drunk. If you haven't heard that episode, you should go listen to it, because Chris and my mom talked a lot of Star Trek while I, like, just laughed in the background, drunk off my ass. Anyway, my mom has a saying, and she's told me the saying my entire life. And the saying is, it's better to be lucky than good any day. This is the case for our droids in this moment, because General Grievous' ship comes out of nowhere and shows up behind the pirates. He has Audigalia captured on his bridge. Because it's Grievous, he just wants to shoot the shit out of the pirates just because he can. Just as the droid fight begins, Grievous blows a hole in the side of the pirate ship, and R2 and C-3PO get blown out into space. I made sure to write blow out of space just for
you.
Thank you. You're welcome. 3PO hangs onto his friend, and R2 flies to the Separatist ship. The battle droids are, God love them, think our heroes are pirate droids and arrest them to be incinerated. Luck is still in our droids' favor. The Republic has shown up with reinforcements. R2 snatches 3PO and flies out of captivity. Plo Koon and the Wolf Pack storm the ship to rescue Audigalia and her men. She meets up with Plo and Commander Wolf and tells the commander that Grievous has fled the ship in his normal front flip escape pod to go Skype Count Dooku and tell Dooku that he destroyed another warship. And Dooku probably yelled at him. 3PO and R2 come out of nowhere, and Commander Wolf is like, are you fucking kidding me? You guys, I thought thought I was rid of you guys from last episode. Why are you guys here? God, no. Like, who did I... What? Why? Why do you curse me so? And Plo Koon, being the big old troll he is, looks at Wolf, and then looks at 3PO, and then looks at Wolf again and says, Wolf, wouldn't you just love to hear all about their adventures? And Wolf is like, what have I ever done to you, old man? Why do you hate me? Have I not served you well? And Plo Koon chuckles and walks off with Adi Gallia, while poor Wolf must suffer 3PO just like the rest of us. The end.
I only have one note for this one.
What?
Wolf sure loves stories.
You know, I know this is a tiny little two-act arc, but what a great joke to tie into the end of it.
Yep.
Like, that is just, like, that just makes the entire episode, and...
This takes the jokes and the storyline from the last episode and hypercharges it and then, like, earns that joke at the end, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Wolf almost got rid of R2 and 3PO, or, well, he probably has no problem with R2, but 3PO... You know, they could be still sitting under that mushroom, you know, if all the dominoes had not fallen in exactly the right order.
I know, right? I mean, like, what are the odds of, like, them coming back and finding them?
This one you don't even don't tell me about the odds, you know, because you just, this one is just. Right from the beginning, it's like, I'm throwing out science, I'm throwing out any kind of story, you know, this has to line up. This is just a pure, fun episode, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a riot. Visually, this third act, I mean, the whole robot fight club, the way it was shot and the robot that they were fighting was very colorful, and it just goes. It's just like, there's nothing slow about this episode ever, you know. Even establishing shots are just like, boom, quickest, you know. You just have to stay on your toes and follow each thing.
And, I mean, they crammed a lot in 22 minutes.
Yeah, a lot. And that's very Star Wars-y. And it reminded me of a Disney ride. It reminded me of you get in the car and you just get whipped through it and you don't have enough time to think about anything. Although, if you think about all the stuff in this, it's a lot of fun. So, it was just great. I loved it.
I have a few notes. I love what a big old troll Plo Koon is.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, Wolf, listen to this guy. And Wolf is just like, God, no, I don't want to. Master Plo, I've served you for like 4 seasons already. Come on, man. And you know Plo Koon is just like, I can't wait to tell the others about this. Like, I love it. One thing I do really love about this episode is seeing just other people and other planets that are not our, like, normal people that we normally see. Because we're so used to seeing a lot of the common aliens like the Mon Cala, the Transdotians, the Twi'leks, etc. But here we got to see a lot of new species. And we got to see how big this galaxy really is and a lot of new people that we didn't even know about. And it just opens up the possibility that there are even more people and planets and things to discover out there. So I kind of like that because, you know, it just adds that air of you land on a planet, you're not going to know what you find. And I love that aspect of this episode that we just got, what, like 2 new races that we didn't even know about and tiny gremlin Yodas. What are those? They're adorable. I know what
and
you're talking about now.
Yep.
Yeah, I totally know what they're talking about. They're very blue and I liked them a lot. Man, I really wanted to see R2 kick that Fight Club droid's ass.
I thought it was going to be a combination of R2 kicking his ass and 3PO finishing him off by clumsiness. Because R2 got his electric arm out and was right out in front, like, you know, zapping.
Yeah.
R2 was not messing around. He was like, okay, I'm going to go fight this guy. But I love that they just take it where you don't expect and all of a sudden there's a big hole in the side of the ship, you know?
Yeah, and do you remember, like, season 1 with Goldie? Like, R2 poured oil on him and set him on fire.
Yeah, R2 doesn't play. R2 still has green blood on his chest, remember?
R2 is like the OG badass that will shank you in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really just wanted to see R2 kick that droid's ass because I know he can. Like, I would almost, like, get to where if he did fight him and, like, 3PO tripped and the droid tripped over him and then exploded against the wall and that's what blew a hole in the ship and then the Separatist showed up. But at the same time, it wouldn't be... It would have taken way longer, and we were... God, we were barely with the Weequay Pirates, like, maybe 3 minutes.
Right, right. It was just following in the, like, things happening so quickly that you can't keep track of them almost, you know? So I liked it.
Yeah. Though I have to say, like, maybe it's just because of Hondo, and I love Hondo so much, but I have a kind of a special place in my heart for Weequay Pirates, because they're all so dumb. They're all so stupid, and I love them, but it's probably because of Hondo, because Hondo is brilliant, and he's one of the best characters in Star Wars. I love him so much. I also really love the droid line, "You will be melted down for General Grievous's war machine."
Yes, I thought they were going to say, like, for General Grievous's replacement arms or something like that, but I like war machine even better.
I know. And I like that it's Grievous's war machines, not the Separatist war machine.
Right, right, yeah.
It's just Grievous's... The battle droids were so lovely because they're like, "Who are you? You must be pirate droids." And they're like, "Oh yeah, we're pirate droids." And he's just like, "The war machine!" And I'm like, God, I love battle droids. They're stupid faces. I love them. They used to be so annoying to me, but they're so well done, and I love them
now
so much.
Now I love them. Yeah, now I can't get enough of them.
Like, when they showed up in Rebels in that one episode, I was just like, oh my God, I didn't realize how much I missed you, and I do a weekly podcast about you guys, and I still miss you so much. So, yeah. I like 3PO a little bit more in the last episode better, because I like that he was helping people and everything was with purpose. This was more of the old kind of bumbling 3PO where he just kind of...
Stumbly, bumbly, whiny. Yep, but it's going too fast to get sick of his whining.
Yeah, and it's not as bad. It's not bad, especially, like, I always think of that one episode, like the Malevolence arc, where it's literally like 3PO gets hit by a train and he's stuck on the train and the train stops and he gets thrown off. Like, you know, it's not like that. I mean, he's still really good in this episode.
I thought they had a great character moment where he and R2 powered down and they're such buddies. They're down to their last, you know, ounce of power and they won't stop talking to each other. They won't stop using power to talk to each other.
Yeah, like that.
They're like, "Our power's running. Your power's running down. I'll run down with you, buddy," you know. So that was a nice little R2-3PO character moment.
And there was also a moment where the Wizard of Oz was like, "Silence!" And 3PO goes, "Well, you're in luck. I'm the quiet one." So, I'm sorry you didn't have a lot of Grievous on this episode, Chris.
It's okay. It's okay. I was vastly entertained. I like the way I like the way they used Grievous in this episode. I like that what they were doing. So, it was fine to have Grievous. I'm glad Grievous was one of the elements going on in the background.
Yeah, because he also was just like, "Is that a pirate ship? Well, we'll use it for target practice.
Hey,
Kill them. But I realized between the Shadow Warrior episode with Jar Jar and this episode, we've had more Grievous in this season than all of last season already.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you a question, though. This is more of a 3PO kind of question. Do you remember the episode Evil Plans with Cad Bane capturing the droids on a fruit run?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really bad episode.
Yep.
Well, this is a sort of a similar setup where the droids go on this, like, sidetrack adventure and stuff like that. So why is this episode so good and that episode so bad?
This one was more Star Wars-y. This one was flat-out chaos and battle. It was, quote-unquote, more expensive. The last one was, like, they were sort of, like, one... Okay, let's approach this as if it were, like, a movie made with real sets and stuff. That one had a lot of talking in it, and it had a lot of them just sort of like, "Oh, we're in the streets of Coruscant," and then there was a sequence where they're captured by Cad Bane. This one is literally moving. This one is like, well, it's 22 minutes. It's about the length of a beginning of a Star Wars movie when you have a set piece that's just, like, there to bring you into the movie that's usually around 20 minutes long and just goes and goes and goes. Mm-hmm. This was more like that. This was much better written, better made, better served the characters of R2 and 3PO, and it was more candy-like. You know, if something wasn't going to stick in this episode, all you had to do is wait 30 seconds and they're going to be in another place talking to other people doing different things, you know?
Yeah.
You never had a chance to even think about if anything was stupid. And that episode had a little stank on it, too, because it had wasted Cad Bane in it, and he was completely wasted, and that's distracting.
Didn't we also say, like, all Cad Bane had to do was, like, sneak into Padme's office or something?
Yeah. There was so, you know, and that one was slower paced enough to where you could start thinking about, like, why would they send R2 and 3PO, who have all this information and are, like, security risks, to have wandering unaccompanied in Coruscant, you know, where there's scoundrels about all over the place. You know, if you started thinking about the story elements of that one, it started breaking down real quick. And this one, why bother?
Yeah.
It's not, each little story is simple enough that it just sort of feeds on its own thing and then goes on to the next thing. There's not much to mess up with it. I don't know. It was just visual. Everything about it was... It's not gonna like, you know, advance the story or the characters any, but it was just pure Star Wars-y fun.
And we know that wherever a 3PO and R2 goes to, they can overthrow
whoever's in charge is gonna get overturned, yep.
I still just love that they have Baby Jabba's blood on him the entire episode.
Just drying out on him, yep. Just as a little warning to everybody else.
I can see, like, they get back to Coruscant, and Anakin's like, "Hey, buddy, what do you have on there?" And 3PO's like, "Oh, he killed a man."
Starting to smell funky. Smell like dried out frog.
And 3PO will be like, "We kind of killed a guy while we were gone. Archie killed a man." And
Anakin's just like, "I'm totally cool with that."
Just like, "Oh, Tarkin, my droid's cool. He killed a guy." And Tarkin's like, "Well, that's wonderful."
Yeah. Anakin's just like, "Yeah, just wash that off before anybody asks any questions, and we're good."
Well, that's all I had for the episode. Did you have anything else?
I have nothing.
All right, so score this puppy up, Chris.
I'm probably now. I'm sort of reading yours, and then mine is like that. I think I like this week a lot better than last week. I thought last week's was okay, and it had some neat. It gave me some feels to like Splinter of the Mind's Eye. This one was like a flashback to the 70s, 80s style of presentation of Star Wars. But in the Clone Wars world, you know, with Grievy and Jedi running around. So it was just really neat, you know. And I think R2 and 3PO are almost like Mickey and Minnie Mouse, where, like, Lucasfilm sometimes presents them almost generically because they're, like, the stewards of goodwill of Star Wars or whatever. So sometimes they come off as a little cheesy.
They're also kind of like a bickering married couple.
Yeah. And they're almost too familiar, and this one captured their dynamic and their appeal perfectly and used it perfectly. So, I mean, this is like as good as I think you're going to get with an R2 and 3PO episode of Clone Wars. So, yeah, I loved it. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Yes, I love it.
Well, I think I liked last week slightly better, but I'm not going to lie here. It had a ton of Commander Wolf in it, and I fucking love him.
Right.
So Commander Wolf really made a lot of last week's episode for me. But that being said, this is a really cool episode. It's a lot of fun. It's really fun to see a lot of the new planets and the species out there that we normally don't get to see. They made a lot of great nods to literature in this episode. 3PO isn't that annoying, and R2 is being R2. This two episode arc came together in the end with Wolf getting stuck with 3PO again. So this is just a fun little adventure. I think last week I gave it an 8 out of 10. This one's just slightly less at a 7.5 out of 10. But I'm purposely rating lower because I know starting next week we're getting into my favorite chunk of Clone Wars. So I'm about to have a lot of high scores.
Some of your 9 area.
Oh, we're going to have some 10s coming up. I know for a fact that the episode Carnage of Krell is a 10 for me. Like, I don't even have to watch it. Like, I've watched that one episode more than any other episode of Clone Wars, and I can't wait. There's a shot in that episode that was my wallpaper for like a year on my computer because it's such a good episode. So I'm purposely rating a little lower, and also it's really hard for me this season because we'll get this into the season recap, but season four is my favorite season. I love just about, outside of the Mon Cala arc, I like every arc in the season, pretty much. So this is a really hard season for me because everything's going to be a really high score, except for pretty much the Mon Cala arc. So I'm purposely rating a little lower. So it's a 7.5 out of 10 for me.
All right, giving yourself some wiggle room, I understand.
Yeah, because I'm about to have, like, a lot of, like, 9.5s and 9.75s and 10s and, like, 8.75s coming up, so I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Hey, that's a name for a bar. The Wiggle Room.
Oh, that would be... I just imagine... You know those, like, car things when they have those tubi people and they just flap in the wind?
Yeah.
I just imagined a bar full of them.
Yeah, like, you'd have put, like, 10 of those in the front of the bar. The Wiggle Room.
And you have to, like, fight your way through them just to get inside. They're everywhere! Yeah. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. Especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review the show, it helps people find the show. And we would love to hear from you, and we'll read it here on the show. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Wookiee Hunt. Take it away, Chris.
All right, so... the first one's from Aaron Henley. The first thing I'm going to say is, Aaron, I know what you're doing here, trying to get me to make Wookiee noises. I can't make Wookiee noises. I'm worse than Ryan Johnson at making Wookiee noises.
Meow.
So,
meow.
All right. So he says, with a Wookiee roar, with a Wookiee roar, we cried, rog, rog, rog. Rog, rah, rog.
I'm sad that I can do a better Wookiee noise than you can. Yeah,
me too. I love this episode. Chewie being the bruiser we all know and love, tossing transdotions left and right, but also showing he's pretty smart as he builds an entire communication device. Out of scraps, in a cave, of course. If E.T. can do it, Chewie can do it. Maybe he and Tony Stark should hang out sometime. Oh no, why do I give myself crossover ideas that sound excellent but can never happen? They could happen in fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they sure can.
Fan fiction is a magical place.
Yep. Wait, Disney, bring back Star... And if we're talking that there's infinite number of dimensions and realities, it's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, wait, Disney, bring back the Star Wars Tales just so this can happen. Yeah, that would be cool. I loved Star Wars Tales. Anyway, more great Ahsoka development, Chewie being awesome, and it's not a blatant cameo. To Ahsoka, Chewie is just a Wookiee. To us, he's the Wookiee. To you, maybe. To me, that's Mala.
I was about to say Mala?
So nice fan service without it drawing attention to itself, unlike other big character in another star-related franchise did in a recent movie. Can't wait for the Rex position recap for the big season overview.
I like Rex positions.
All right, and the next one comes from Paul C. Kelly. The next two come from Paul C. Kelly. Interesting point, Chris. Thank you. About Chewie encountering too many Jedi on the Clone Wars. Even in Revenge of the Sith, Yoda being good friends with Chewie is pushing it. I agree. One place in Star Wars New Hope where this creates a continuity issue is when Chewie chuckles and then Han says, "You said it, Chewie. Where did you dig up that old fossil?" Mm-hmm. I guess you can argue that even though Chewie knew Jedi... he could have thought old Ben was a crazy Jedi wannabe. And, you know, I mean, at that point, it was also logical to think that all the Jedi were dead, too.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, it's shown that there were people like Chirrut and stuff like that and in that timeline. But pretty much, like, I mean, even Tarkin was like, your old magical ways of 20 years ago. You with your Nokia phones.
still, he seems to be with Han on the fact that it's a hokey religion. Also, you guys missed something, I believe, at the very end of this episode when Anakin walks off with Ahsoka. The scene focuses on Yoda watching them. I believe he is pondering and starting to suspect Anakin is getting too attached. That feeds into my theory that it goes beyond that Yoda knows everything. Yoda knows everything that's going down. and he's sort of trapped in, I probably shouldn't alter anything, you know, because 20 years down the line, you know, Anakin's going to chuck Vader down in the hole.
Anakin's going to chuck Vader down into a hole?
I mean, chuck the Emperor down in the hole. Yeah,
wow.
That would have been interesting.
That's called suicide, Chris.
I'm drinking tonight, guys.
I have to say, Paul, this is a great reference you're about to make, because I haven't thought about this movie in forever, and I love this movie.
Or he knows already and is getting more deeply concerned about it. Kind of like how the Maggie Smith character in Sister Act looks at Whoopi Goldberg character initially. Never seen it.
Oh, it's so good. I also love it. Had a really good sequel, too.
Also, the police officer that brings her to hide out there is like Qui-Gon. In the movie Kindergarten Cop, the principal kind of gives that impression of doubt on Mr. Kimball. My name is Mr. Kimball. Anyway, sorry, just typing out favorite 90s movie scenes that popped into my head when thinking about that you're an add-on in the end. So, Chris, I think I have a good feeling I may see a 10 from you in Season 6. Oh, well, you're going to be having to stick with us for a little while to get there, but we shall see. Hope might agree with me. I'll have to go back and see if I missed in the last episode, Season 1 of Rebels. Did you guys say Darth Vader goes to town in that? I thought the end was just him walking past Tarkin. Maybe I heard wrong.
I think what it is in that one is he shows up at the end of Season 1, and then the first episode of Season 2, that's when he's just, like, ordering the Inquisitor. No, it has to be Season 1. The Inquisitor died in Season 1.
Yes.
So it's the finale of Season 1, and he was having, like, the Inquisitor behead people and just being a force to be reckoned with. A force
to I thought, okay, maybe I was wrong. I have to turn the volume down when you guys talk about Rebels sometimes until I catch up, LOL. But don't stop. Don't let me stop you from going off on it. Doesn't take long to catch up on your Rebels, dude. That's all I'm going to say. Hearing what happens is making me trying to get Season 3. Almost done with Season 2. I'm hoping for some Darth Vader action. You'll get your Darth Vader action.
Oh, my God.
You'll get your Darth Vader action. All right.
The end of Rebels Season 2 is one that I'm still not over. I am still not over it till
when
this
Darth
day.
When Darth Vader's in action in Rebels, boy, it's on a par with when he was in action in Rogue One. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I'm still not over that finale of Season 2.
Okay, so Paul C. Kelly...
I sometimes get teary when I think about it. Like, I get teary if I think about it too hard. I have to be careful.
Some heavy shit, man.
Man, oh God.
Okay, so Paul C. Kelly says on another post, okay, sending this post separately from the other one where it's not related to the episode, but your commentary on Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, ooh. It's going back like 6 months. You can decide whether or not to read it. I'll leave it up to you. I can now get through watching the Anakin Padme romance scenes more easily with Hope's impersonations going on.
What did I do back then? Was I just like, oh, Anakin? What did I do?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Have to listen to that
again.
Like,
that was 6 months ago.
Chris, you also had a good, fair, positive outlook on this movie, but it was great to hear Hope's reaction to this. Chris and I, as it seems from your descriptions of how you entered the Star Wars universe, come into this movie with nothing behind us, and I think I liked it more when I saw it in the theater, but then later on when I tried to watch it, make it work with the original trilogy, started to dislike it more. Hope reminded me of how I felt in the early 90s Ninja Turtle movies, coming in on a good understanding of the 80s cartoon. So much recognition of things that we did not get come from Clone Wars. It is also fun now watching the episode chronologically with this movie in mind. For example, although the first two episodes of this Season 3 are great back-to-back, I thought it was awesome sticking Rookie from Season 1 between these. Probably will not have trouble getting Hope to support that trio. It was kind of like Rogue One type movie just about the clones. Great just hearing Hope shout out all the Jedi names she's recognized too. Anyways, cheers. And many more great Star Wars movies and podcasts to come. And there will be.
Cheers. Yeah, we still don't know what we're doing yet for our December commentaries. I really want to do Rogue One.
Well, we're definitely doing Rogue One.
Okay, good, because I really want to rewatch it, but I'm choosing not to watch it until December.
We might want to do The Force Awakens, too. That might be fun.
Or maybe, I was thinking, maybe Rogue One and then original trilogy? But I kind of want to do Force Awakens, too, because the Last Jedi will be coming out, so it'd be good to get a refresher.
Well, we've already done we haven't done the original trilogy, have we? Well, I was just going to say, if we do Force Awakens, it's going to be we're going to be doing those right on the edge of the movie of Last Jedi coming out. So it might be fun to do Force Awakens leading into, maybe we can, we'll come up with some ideas.
Yeah, because maybe we could also do another fun one, like I've never seen the droids cartoons.
There's Ewok movies.
Yeah, I've never seen those. We talked about doing the original Clone Wars cartoons.
Yeah, the Tartakovsky Clone Wars.
Thank you. Yeah, so we'll figure something out. But I'd be down for Rogue One and Force Awakens, because I haven't watched those, well, since they've come out. So actually, no, I did rewatch Force Awakens last year, so. All right, you guys, because Chris is the biggest of babies, and R2 can't fall on him and squash his head.
Nope.
He hates American candy, and he bitches about it all the time. So
I'll
our friend
American
Dario,
Kit Kat specifically.
But our friend Dario Gonzalez is a flight attendant and flies all over the world, and he is nice enough to send us candy for us to review. And this week is coming from Belgium. I love the American version of these. I'm wondering if they taste like them. I assume they do.
Just cracking mine open. They smell like them. They look like them.
Yeah. Oh, they're really crumbly, though. Maybe mine
taste,
just got...
What
are these? Purulines?
Yeah, I think these might be a little stale, Dario. How long have these been sitting up? I'm betting these were on the plane. Because these are...
I was about to say, though, I've had this box for about a month now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Me too. So I've had them for a while. These are a little... These have the cake on the outside. The crunch... They just got a little bit of a stale flavor. Otherwise, they taste just like...
American purulines.
The American ones. I used to eat a lot of these because when I worked for this catering company, the boss of the catering company thought these were the classiest things in the world. So we garnished a lot of food baskets and food trays in people's dressing rooms with these purulines.
Same. My purulene story, when I actually went to church... in my youth group, this was none of us had ever had purulines before, and our youth group leader was like, "What?" So like
buying
the next
you all
week,
purulines.
So the next week he brought us like 5 tins of purulines, and they became like our go-to snack of youth group. And we would take them to Montreat, North Carolina, when we had our like getaway like summer thing every summer. By the way, even though it's like a Christian college, if you ever get to go to Montreat, North Carolina. Because you can visit it and stuff like that. It is a beautiful place. It is
North Carolina
gorgeous.
In general is very beautiful to look at.
Yeah, my best friend lives in North Carolina, so I always love when I get to go visit her. But yeah, it became our go-to treat. So like whenever these remind me of Jesus.
They're really good. I would imagine they'd be really good if you were dunking them in coffee, especially if you take your coffee with cream. I always used to dunk them in hot chocolate, and they're delicious in hot chocolate.
Man, if they actually served these at communion, maybe I would actually go to church once a month. Totally would go to church for purulines once a month. Free purulines, man? Oh, they would just get them out and like packs, and they'd be like, this is the body of Christ.
Well, it's like a tendon of Christ or something with the shape of it, you know?
The what?
Well, you know, that's what is it called? Transmutation when you eat the communion.
But I didn't hear what you said.
It's more like the tendon of Christ or something if you're sticking a purulene in their mouth instead of like a little disc of Christ's flesh. It's like the stick. What else would it be?
Our church actually bakes loaves of bread, so you pluck off like a piece of a loaf of bread.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like we have the ladies of our church actually like the Saturday before.
Is it a Catholic church?
No, it's Presbyterian.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Catholic communion.
You know, you see, like, Presbyterians are, like, Catholic teachings with Baptist fun.
Right, right.
So, like, it's still very formal, and there's a lot of traditions and stuff like that, but it's not, like, 12 hours long, and you actually get to go home and watch baseball afterwards.
It's got baseball
I was bad
broken.
At church. I was really bad at church. I don't know. Church is not quite my thing.
No, me but neither.
I'm a weird person. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the church. I think it's a human thing and very destructive, which is always awkward because my family's super conservative, and my grandfather actually has asked me multiple times if I'm going to go to hell because I don't go to church. And I was like,
religion is one thing and church is another thing, you know? And church, yeah. I always look at as like anything else. It's a tool. So it could be used for good. It could be used for bad.
Religion
and church are the same thing to me. I think like spirituality is just generally a thing that people have. Religion is when people start trying to put specific things to it, and church is when they like really nail them down to like, this is our specific thing. And that's where you get a lot of noise in there from people, you know. You get a lot of stuff going, are you sure God said that? Because that sort of sounds like something you would say, you know. So that's where I start getting messed up with church. And then when I was a kid and went to church, I was like, oh, some of these churchy people are not the nicest people in the world. What's up with that? So I got bitter about it early on.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I stopped going to church, because it's kind of hard when you're kind of queer and have the churchy things going on. Mm-hmm. That can be a bit hard. But the cool thing is my aunt is a minister, and she has a very open LGBT congregation. And if she didn't live an hour away from me, I would totally probably try out her church.
Go to church, yeah. You're not getting back for baseball after that one.
But yeah, she's a really cool. She's very 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 liberal and has a very very open congregation. So because love is love and God loves everybody. Yay.
Aww.
Yeah, to end the tie it back, church is like, you know, the Force and Sith and Jedi. And Night Sisters and Lestats and Poison Ivy from last episode. The church is like Poison Ivy. Well, all right, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at the Church of Two True Freaks. twotruefreaks.com, where we preach the holy scripture of Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who, giant monsters, gorillas,
Walking
comic
Dead.
Books, all that fun stuff. Not to say that cancels out all the other traditional religions, but it's a good little side religion.
The Church of the Walking Dead.
The Church of the Walking Dead.
The Church of Is It Jaws.
The Church of Is It Jaws, that's hilarious. The Church of Amity. So that's at twotruefreaks.com. You can go see all our podcasts there. We got a Facebook page. We got the Two True Freaks Cantina on Facebook. We've got a Twitter page, so you just search Two True Freaks on Twitter. Or if you want to leave something, you can hashtag Two True Freaks on there. And that will be seen and managed by Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene!
And it's so funny. I do ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum, and you do do-do-do-do-do-do.
You know, there's a brief moment I was like, is it the bop-ups or the doo-doos?
I think the judges will accept both answers on that
one. Is Gene our deacon?
Deacon Gene.
Ugh, because he watches. No, he's like the Pope, because he's in charge of all the podcasts. Pope Gene. And then a choir comes out and they're like, ba 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 Gene.
Like Gregorian chant style, yeah. Yeah, good. As long as I get to be the Grand Inquisitor, I don't care.
Oh my god. When we get to Rebels, Gene, you're gonna be Grand Inquisitor Gene.
But where can people find you, Hope?
I'm sorry.
How'd you like that segue? Was that smooth or what?
I'm still laughing at Pope Gene over here. I think that's just so funny. We just need to send him a hat. Like make a hat out of paper and mail it to Gene. Oh my god. Oh man, you can find me on at Jagas and Jedi on Twitter and at Hope Molinax. I run our Twitter account. And you can find me with those sinners and those queers and those lady lovers and blah over at whatthefangirl.com, because I write the news for them and we're actually really good and really cool. So I actually probably should say that because I really like working for What the Fangirl, and our new segments. And since we recorded two episodes tonight, including last week's episode, I haven't written anything since last week, because we've been recording the last 2 hours. So, yeah, that's where I am. Oh my god, we start Umbara next week. Oh man, okay, guys.
Batten down the hatches, everybody.
The next 7 weeks is my favorite chunk of Clone Wars, because you have the four Umbara arcs, it's all Rex all the time, and it's gonna be great, and then you have the Slaver arc, which is these 3 episodes, and they're cat people, and I love them, and they're awesome, and Anakin's all like, grrr, and Ahsoka's cool, and then there's giant lizards, and then Rex is in a shirtless thing. Rex is shirtless part of this thing, and it's my favorite costume of his. Guys, the next 7 weeks.
Then the clones break into 2 teams, shirts and skins, and oh my god, let's start taking bets on whether Hope's gonna make it through these next two months without blowing a gasket.
Chris, you don't know how close you came to that, but really sad when we get to the 4th episode of Umbara.
Oh no.
You just hurt my soul a lot. Oh my god, I'm gonna cry.
What an awesome way to... That's how you end an episode right there.
Oh, my, making Hope cry thinking about things. But guys, seriously, next 7 weeks, batten down the hatches, because it's going to be... I mean, it's going to be long for the next 7 weeks. Especially for the next month, because at least the 4 Umbara arcs, I'm just going to go all for it, and it's going to be... I can't wait.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
All right, children. The lights are out and the party's over. It's time for me, Dr. D, to start running and say goodbye for a little while. And I know you're gonna miss me, so I'll leave you with this. You know that big ball of radiation we call the sun? Well, it'll burst you into flames if you stay in one place too long. That is if the static don't get you first. So remember, even if you're dusted, you may be gone, but out here in the desert, your shadow lives on without you. This is Dr. Death Defying, signing off.